want to try to finish Daniel chapter 12, the whole book of Daniel. Now keep in mind, as we finish this, as we take a look at chapter 12, the angel told Daniel in chapter 10, verse 14. The angel said this, he said, "Now I am come to make you understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, in the last days. For yet the vision is for many days." I think if we forget that this is for thy people. Now, who are Daniel's people? We know the Jews, right? And so I think if we get that, if that idea is lost to us, we're going to misunderstand what these prophecies are saying. If you start to get rid of the church or get rid of Israel or intermix them and confuse them, what happens is your eschatology, your end time study really gets confusing and confused. And it just goes strange from there. So keep in mind, the angel said, "I've come to make you understand what shall befall your people." Daniel had been fasting, mourning, praying for 21 days about his people. They've been scattered for the last 70 years when Daniel was mourning and praying. And he wanted to know, what's going to happen? What will come next? What will happen to God's people, the children of Abraham? They're scattered around the earth. What's going to happen to them? Will God keep his word? And he knew he would, but he was thinking, how will this be? The angel says, "I've come to help you to understand what shall befall your people." And Daniel, it's your people. This is what will befall them in the last days, the latter days, the end times. So it's far from now. The New Testament calls the latter days the last days or the end times. It'll be a long time from when Daniel was writing his book. You know, this was written 3,000 years ago. And some of the things that are written in this book, in the book of Daniel, some of these things have not even happened yet. And this book was written 3,000 years ago. And it has been 100% accurate up to today. And I'm telling you, it will be 100% accurate up until Jesus returns and sets up his millennial reign, his kingdom. I am convinced also that before some of these events take place, the ones that haven't happened yet, that the church must be removed from the earth. I'm convinced of that. That, I believe, is the next event on God's calendar for his plan for these times that we live. The rapture of the church. I believe that. I'm convinced of it. And I know some of you are not. That's all right. You will be when you're raptured. Because he will take everyone that belongs to him, no matter what we think about how it ought to work. So, with that in mind, we begin chapter 12 and we read this. Verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand..." Okay, hold it. Hold it. Wait a minute. You can't just say, "and at that time." It's like you're starting in the middle of something. And you know why that is? You're starting in the middle of something. You see, God didn't put these breaks, these chapter breaks. Man did, because it would have been hard to find Daniel 12 if there was no Daniel 12. And you're going back through the entire Old Testament trying to find this little spot. So we broke it up and put numbers and chapters and such. But remember, there is no break. So when we read, "and at that time Michael shall stand up," wait a minute, what time? You got to go back to chapter 11, talking about the Antichrist. Look in verse 45. The Antichrist, "he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace," in other words, his headquarters, "between the seas," we learned that would be the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea, "in the glorious holy mountain," there by Jerusalem. The Antichrist shall plant his tabernacles, headquarters, and his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, "yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." So we're talking about the 70th week of Daniel, the end times. "And at that time shall Michael stand up." When? During that last 7-year period we call the 70th week of Daniel. "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble,
such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. In other words, since the beginning all the way up to the time of the tribulation, there's never been anything like it. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Michael, I believe, as you read through Scripture, the only angel given the rank of archangel. He will stand up for Israel. He is the angel that defends Israel. He will stand up, and that literally means stand up to defend. Why? Because during this time called the 70th week of Daniel, that last 7-year period that was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, during that last 3.5 years, the devil is going to make his final attempt at destroying all the children of Abraham. His goal is to destroy the Israelites, the Jews. What would happen if he could accomplish that? If the devil could destroy all of the Jews, the living Jews, then God could not keep his promise. His promise is to keep a remnant of the Jews alive until Jesus actually returns. If the devil could destroy the Jews, then God's promise is broken, meaning God is not God, and the devil can say, I'm going to be God now, and you worship me. He's fighting a losing battle, but he will attempt in the last 3.5 years of the 7-year period an all-out effort, all stops pulled out, to kill every living Jew. Every living child of Abraham, no matter where they live on the planet. It's called a time of trouble. Michael shall stand up to defend, and it'll be a time of trouble. You and I use the term great tribulation. Where did we get that? Is that something that some scholar coined? Some Bible? No. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. Read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read verses 21 and 22. Jesus is speaking about these times. And he says this, listen closely, for then shall be great tribulation. Oh, that's where it comes from. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now listen to what Daniel chapter 1 says. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Listen, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time and to the time of the end. And Jesus just said, there's never been anything like the great tribulation that's coming. He says, and it was so bad, except those days should be shortened, no flesh would survive. No human would live through it, but for the sake of the elect, God's going to shorten those days. There's a time of period, or a time of history coming, it's still future, a 7-year period, where the last 3.5 years of that is going to be so violent and so bad, there has never been anything like it on the planet ever in all the history of mankind. And we look today and we see major, major violence going on. We see people being mutilated, being tortured, being forced to rape and murder each other. We see people, homicide bombings, where people think that they'll get rewarded in the next life by killing others. It's got to be a shock when you blow yourself up and step into eternity and find no virgins waiting, but demons instead. Got to be a shock. And you can't come back and tell everybody else, hey guys, wait. They've got God's word. If they won't listen to God's word, they won't listen even if someone, Jesus says this, they won't listen to even if someone should rise from the dead. Do you know in our history, there is so much proof that Jesus Christ was killed, buried, and actually rose from the dead. There's proof. You can prove it. And still people mock and choose not to believe. There's trouble coming. Well, verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, that's a strange language, and many of them that sleep in the dust. What the language means is many that have died. No, this verse and other verses where the word sleep is used. No, this is not teaching soul sleep, as some people teach. There is no such thing. You see, Scripture is clear. If you belong to the Lord and you die right now, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we're sure of it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no long dark tunnel. There's no light at the end of it. There's no long trip you have to take where the demons might snatch you if you're not careful on the way. To be absent from this body is to be immediately in the presence of the Lord. What happens to those that don't belong to the Lord? To be absent from this body is to be immediately in a place of torment waiting for adjudication. Not judgment to see if they're guilty. The Bible says a sentencing. The great white throne is a sentencing. It's not trying to decide whether they will go to heaven or hell. They've already been condemned. Now they get their sentencing. Separated from God for eternity at the great white throne. So what does he mean by sleep? Those that sleep in the dust. Is it soul sleep? No. You're immediately with the Lord, or you're immediately in a place waiting for sentencing. But the term sleep is used because, for those of you who have been to funerals, I have been to a lot in my life. Just because of what God's called me to do, I do funerals too. And I want you to know, some funerals have viewings, some don't. But when there's a viewing, and I've seen a lot of them, I swear that person is still breathing. I do. I know it's weird. I'm sorry. But I look at them, and I'm so used to life, I think they're, you know what it looks like? It looks like they're asleep. It just does. And that's the point. You see, when you die, when I die, when a person dies, their body is laid to rest. You belong to the Lord, your spirit, your soul with the Lord. But your body is laid to rest. And he says here, they'll be resurrected. Some to life and some to separation from the Lord. See, some believed the promises of God, looking forward to the promises. They didn't live to see Messiah, but they believed. You remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? And you can probably come up with a list of your own, King David. They knew God would keep his word, yet they didn't see it. They knew it. And so they looked forward to Messiah, to the promises. But you know, some did not believe. He says, those shame and torment and all that comes with it. Those that are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those that are wise. Those that turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars, twinkling forever. Well, you know something, Christian? You and I that are truly born again, do you know, you will shine for eternity. But do you know that we're told that we ought to be shining now, not waiting till we get out there? Aren't we? Aren't we told to be shining now in this dark place? Let this little light shine. We listen to the children sing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We need to shine now. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So shine now. Sure, you'll shine for eternity. Start now. Well, I don't want you to be confused at these that are resurrected. See, they're resurrected. What we're reading here in Daniel chapters 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. They're resurrected to enter into the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. But they are not resurrected
at the rapture. Now, I make that distinction because you have to have that distinction because Scripture clearly makes that distinction itself. What am I talking about? Only the church, those that have died in Jesus Christ, since He died on the cross, shed His blood for the sin of the world, was buried, and then rose again. Those after that who will come to Jesus Christ are part of what we call the body of Jesus Christ, or we even use the term the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a special people, peculiar people, called apart and set aside. And only the church will be resurrected at the rapture. By that I mean, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul would say, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and etc. You remember all that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 says this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which have died in Jesus will God bring with Him. So see, the rapture is a separate event than the resurrection at the end of the tribulation for those who will enter into the millennial kingdom. Am I making sense to you? Are you with me? Can you spell with me? Okay. No. Well, all right. Let's move on then. Look at verse 4. Well, let me read 3 and get a running start at verse 4 so it'll make sense. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, the heavens. And they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, but you, shut up the words. Seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You've heard that before, haven't you? Whole sermons on that, huh? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He says, Daniel, seal up these words. Close it after you write it. Seal up the book. Why? Because you're going to write this, and you can hand it to one of your contemporaries, say, read, this is what God showed me. They're going to read it and have absolutely no idea what this says. None. You know, when you stand on a mountain peak, and you go over to the Alps, what a great, great way to do it. Go to the Alps, get to the top of one of those mountains, and you stand there, and you see other peaks. That one, then there's one over there, one back there. You'll see 4 before maybe it's too cloudy and before it's too far away. You see these mountain peaks. And you go, oh, wow, there's that one and there's that one. And then look at that one. Way up there, there's that one. I can see 4 mountain peaks from here. Man, we're high. But you know what you can't see? How big the valleys are in between them. It might look like it's not that far. But if you were to walk from this peak straight down and go, you might find, you see, you can stand on one peak. We were doing this when we were over there in Austria, and you're looking at a few peaks down the road, and you see, the truth is you're now looking over way off there into Italy. It doesn't look that far, but if you had to walk it, oh Lord, would that be a long way to go and a rough way to go. Daniel's looking at the peaks going, man, look at that. But you see, he can't see what's in between. So God says, here's what you do. Seal this up. Just seal it up. Seal up the words, seal up the book. Why? Even to the time of the end. This is for the end times. See, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The time of the end. The last days. What he's saying is, people will have more of an understanding in the last days than they do now, Daniel. Some interpret this, and I know you've heard this, some interpret this to mean the last part of the verse, many running to and fro, knowledge increased. They interpret it to mean this, that knowledge in general will increase, that we'll just know more. Do you think that verse is talking about quantum physics or time, the space-time continuum, how we think now time can be bent or slowed down? As a matter of fact, now they're proving the theory that you can go back in time. It's possible. The thing is, you have to slow time down, and then you have to speed up past how you slowed it down. And then it gets into all that physics stuff that you and I listen to the smart people talk about. You think that's really what this verse is talking about? Many people think that. And so they do whole Bible studies. Knowledge has increased. And they do a whole Bible study on the things we've learned. How medical science has just made huge leaps. And pretty soon we'll be able to reinvent ourselves. We'll clone ourselves. And we'll all be singing the song, "Leave me a clone, won't you leave me?" I made that up. It's pretty bad. It's not talking about that at all, I don't believe. When it says men shall run to and fro, some people teach, well, you know what that means is man's amazing ability to create travel. And now we travel so much more quickly than Daniel certainly could travel in those days. Yeah, we've come. I'm not saying we haven't done that, but I don't think that's talking about this at all. I'll tell you why. Because we have to take it in context of what the whole question is. I've been fasting 21 days in mourning and wanting to know about my people. What's going to happen to my people in my holy city? And the angel comes along and says, listen, Daniel, your people can't understand this right now. Seal the book till the time of the end. When they study in the time of the end, knowledge will increase. What does that mean? We have all of that history to look at. We can see now the valleys and how far it was. Daniel wrote this 3,000 years ago. And we look back and we've got history over those 3,000 years. And we go, oh my goodness, Daniel, you wrote that. It is right on all the way through. I mean, some of it's still future, but so much is past. We understand. Daniel, and Daniel would have said, not me, dude, give me a clue. And men were traveling to and fro simply means this: they will go to great lengths back and forth to learn to understand what God is telling us. In context, simply put, the people in the last days will have a much better understanding of this prophecy than the people in the days past. And I'm telling you what, guys and girls, we are the people of the last days, I believe. We've got so much history behind us, we can look and really understand Daniel's prophecies all the way through. Some of it's future. And I'll show you what I mean by us not understanding it in the verses coming up. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I believe it remains specific to the prophecy that Daniel is given, meaning simply that at the time of the end, people will understand more of what this prophecy really means. Knowledge will increase. Well, look at verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two more angels, other two, one on the side of this side of the river, the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And he says, I looked, and besides this angel that's telling me this, I now looked at the Tigris River, and I see an angel now, two more angels, one on each side. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, over the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it should be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. One of the angels asked another angel, how long will this be? How long will these things be? The answer comes back, a time, times, and a half. We've already seen that term. We've seen it in a couple of places. Basically, in our language, we would say 3.5 years. A time is a year. Times is 2 years. And a half. 3.5 years. Basically, in the prophecy that Daniel has written down, there are 70 weeks of years determined upon your people and your holy city. 69 of those weeks of years have been accomplished. We look back at history and see it. But there's a 7-year period, 1 week of years left, a 7-year period that has not been accomplished yet. It is still yet future. During that 7 years, the angel says the hardest part of it will be 3.5 years of it. The second 3.5 years is what the angel is saying. The Great Tribulation, as Jesus called it. You see, this final ruler, the one we call Antichrist, he's going to reign for 7 years. The first 3.5 years, he's going to, through peace, destroy many, the Bible says. He's going to bring about this
shaky, fake, false peace treaty. And for about 3.5 years, there's going to be this shaky, false peace. But at 3.5 years into it, he's going to enter into the Holy of Holies, set up an image of himself to be worshipped, claim to be God. And for the next 3.5 years, there's going to be wars are determined. And there's going to be the worst time on the face of the planet. Because not only is the devil going to unleash everything he's got, one last attempt, but the Lord will pour out from heaven his wrath on a world that has completely rejected his son. As you read through the book of Revelation. So Daniel says this in verse 8. I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, or then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel said, I heard the one angel ask. I heard the answer 3.5 years. And he said, I'm not quite even sure how that all fits together. But this question was on my mind. Because I want to know what will happen to my people. How will this whole thing end? What will be the outcome of all this trouble? That's his question. How will it all end? And he said this to me, he says in verse 9. He said, go your way. Daniel, get back to your routine, to your life. For the words are closed up and sealed till the end times, till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I like the angel. You can just see the angel looking at Daniel because Daniel is going, I know I just heard what he said. Now, I understood the words, but I got to tell you, I'm not grabbing it. Here's what I really need to know. I've been fasting and mourning for my people. I love them. What will finally be the outcome of this whole trouble, this great trouble, this great tribulation, this whole thing? How's it going to work? How are they going to end up? What about my people? And the angel says this. I like it. Go on, you know, Daniel. This is a lot to dump on you. You know what? Go on with your life. Get back into service. Just go on with your life. See, the words that you're hearing and that you're writing are to be sealed up till the time of the end. Many of the Jews will turn to Messiah then, during that great hardship and that great tribulation. Because they'll have nowhere else to turn. And they'll finally turn back to God. They'll be made spotless, the angel says, by Messiah, their king, of course. But the wicked will continue in their ways. And don't we see that? I mean, even today, come on, don't we? Those of you that are Christians and you work around those that are obviously not Christians. Don't you find it amazing how they just want to continue on in their ways? You say, I'd like to tell you about the Lord. They go, you know, that's a joke. I've believed that since I was 3. I'm just not into that kind of thing, man. You know, you're headed for hell. I don't even believe in hell. I'm not worried about it. If I go there, I'll go there with all my friends. It's no big deal. You know, the wicked continue on in their ways, don't they? Blindly. We talk about when Jesus says the narrow way. Remember, you've heard that. And so we learn from Matthew, stay away from Broadway. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are on that path. But what you want is the narrow way, and few there be that find it. Now, here's the picture you have to have. If you've got a picture in your mind of this really dark, skinny, dangerous road, you have got the wrong picture of eternal life and life in Jesus Christ. Here's the picture you have to have. You have to have a picture of a funnel. In other words, the funnel, it's small, it's tight. Narrow is the way. But when you enter into life, all of a sudden Jesus says abundant life. As you continue on, it's bigger and bigger and it's abundant life. It's just life eternal and it's great. Now, when you think Broadway, you're thinking this wide, wide road that everybody could go any way they want, whatever they think, any railroads. No, no, no. You got to think a funnel the opposite way. You enter into the funnel and it's just like everything goes. But what happens is you're being funneled slowly to death. The only thing that's at the other end of that. And that's what he's saying. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Don't grow weary in doing what God says to do. When you see most of the rest of the world doesn't do it and seems to get away with it. Because you know it's not just a street, it's a funnel. You see, they that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, which means quit. Don't give up. Don't do it on your own strength. Give it to the Lord. I'm tired, Lord. I'm worn out. You got the Popeye syndrome, meaning that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Give it to the Lord. Wait on Him for the strength. Don't quit. Don't think because everybody around you seems to be getting away with this murder that it's okay, because you understand it's a funnel. They are slowly going to be forced into one thing, and it's only death for eternity. And see, the wise shall understand. Look at verse 11. He's going to give him an answer now. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Okay, you can mark that down now. From the time the daily sacrifice is taken away. And the abomination that maketh desolate is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. What will be the end of my people? How's it all going to end? What happened? Well, you know, Daniel, here it is. Just go back to your regular life. Because this is going to be way at the end. But let me tell you this. From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate is set up, 1,290 days. Now, a Jewish calendar, a Jewish year, is 360 days. So what you've just been told here is 3.5 years and 1 month. 3.5 years, would be 1,260 days. But the angel said 1,290 days. So it's 3.5 years and 1 month. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 24:15-16. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, when you see it stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Daniel's talking about it right here. From the time that the daily sacrifice should be taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there'll be 3.5 years and 1 month. From the time that is set up, you have 3.5 years left in 1 month. Now I ask you, why 1 month? 3.5 years, it's a total of 7 years. But the last 3.5 years are the real great tribulation, all the real struggles and troubles. Why 3.5 years and 1 month? Why 3.5 years and 30 days? And I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. There's an extra 30 days here, but it gets worse. Now, some have suggested that the extra 30 days will give the Lord time to judge the nation of Israel, because there needs to be a judgment, and the rest of the nations as well, so he can separate the sheep from the goats. Remember, he talks about that, Matthew chapters 23, 24, 25, read through those. Separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to judge those who will enter in the millennial kingdom. In other words, not everyone alive will enter into the kingdom. Some will be put to death. Some will be cast out into darkness, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. But some will enter into the kingdom. So there's a judgment period. So some say, well, that's what that 30 days is for. Could be. I don't know. That's speculation. The good thing about speculation is it's not a sin. You can speculate. At the end of it, all you have is speculation. But it's okay. I don't know. Some suggest that the 30 days isn't at the end, but the 30 days is really at the beginning, because here's some speculation here. They say, well, the Antichrist, to set up his image, going to take a little while to have it set up and redecorated. So 30 days, about a month for him to do all that, and then announce to the world, you got to worship me and the Holy... I don't know. See, I guess the world is just going to have to wait to see what those 30 extra days are for. Aren't they? But watch this. Look at verse 12. Blessed is he that waits and comes to 1,335 days. Oh, great. Because you see, 1,335 days comes to 3.5 years and 2.5 months. You get the 45 and the end of 30, and oh my goodness, now you got, 75 days now you got to do something with? What do you do with all that? Speculate. Some things belong to the Lord, don't they? Deuteronomy 29:29. Some things just belong to the Lord, don't they? And he hasn't broken it down for us here. We know that the 7-year tribulation is 7 years. We understand that the last 3.5 are the great tribulation. We understand the Lord will return. Said it's put on the Mount of Olives. He will return, descend from heaven and from the throne of God. And he will set up his kingdom, set up his throne. He will judge the nations. He will rule and reign from that point forever. There are a bunch of days in there. I don't know what he's doing. Touring? No, he's seen it. I don't know. Some things just belong to the Lord, and he's chosen not to fill us in. But just think, when I say to you, we've got a bunch of extra days and we just don't know how to put them together because nothing in Scripture shows us. Just think how Daniel felt. Greece is coming. They're nothing. That's nothing over there. It's nothing. How could they possibly become a world power? Can you imagine all the things he wrote down and all that must have been going through his heart and mind? What? You see, so much of it's clear to us now. We go, Daniel, come on. What's with you? But you see, there are still some things ahead of us we just can't grasp yet. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But here's what you do, Daniel. Go your way to the end be. For thou shalt rest. In other words, you're going to die, Daniel. And stand in thy lot at the end of the days. All right, now think about it, because he just said a whole lot to Daniel. He says, Daniel, you need to go on home. Go on about your daily life, the things that God's got you doing, the things that you're scheduled to be doing, Daniel. You go ahead and take care of those. Live for the Lord, Daniel. Go ahead. Keep on in Jesus. Just follow him. You're going to die, by the way. You'll be going to be with the Lord really soon, Daniel. Long time before many of these things even take place. I remember Jesus telling Peter that. Jesus said, you know, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go and you dressed the way you wanted to dress. And that was the way it was. But you know something? When you're old, they're going to put you in clothes you won't want to wear. Prison clothes is what he's talking about. They're going to lead you to a place you're not going to want to go. See, Jesus was telling Peter how he would die. Jesus was saying this, Peter, you won't be here for my return. You're going to die before that. And so Peter said, you know, Lord, cool. And he looked around and he saw John and he said, Lord, what's going to happen to him? And that's when Jesus said, you know, Peter, if I want him to live until I return, what's that to you? In other words, it's got nothing to do. He said, you follow me. I've already told you your life. You just follow me. And John, you know, we'll take care of that. When, you know, we'll get to that bridge when we cross it. That's between me and John. He says, Daniel, go on home. Do what you know you need to do. Trust in the Lord. Keep on following. Just keep on going. You will be resurrected, though, Daniel. You're going to die. You're going to rest. You're going to die. But you're going to be resurrected. You'll stand in your lot. Notice Daniel is told he's going to die, yet he's going to be standing there and enter into the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's what Daniel's just told. With all of those of the Old Testament that were truly followers of the Lord. In your lot. You know, that's your group. Those are the people that trusted and hoped. And you'll see Father Abraham. And you'll see Daniel. And you'll see David. And you'll get to see Gideon. And you'll see these people. These Old Testament prophets and saints. You'll be there, he says, at the end of the days to enter the millennial kingdom. You'll be a citizen there, Daniel. So it's all right. Daniel, you know, he lived his life for the Lord. You know that, don't you? As we've read through here. And the Lord says, Daniel, you'll be there. You'll stand there on that day too. You'll share in the kingdom of God. Remember Job? Job was dying. He was so sick that there was a time he was afraid he wasn't going to die. Remember? He was afraid he was going to live through this and have to go through something like it again. He wanted to die and he couldn't, and he was in mad shape. But he said something that was so amazing. He said, you know what? I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my physical body will die. And he says, and I know my Redeemer lives, and I will stand with him on that day. Job was saying, I know I'm going to die, but I know I'll be resurrected and stand with the Lord on that day. So Job will be there, ready to enter into the millennial kingdom. So what's the point for you and me? Point is quite simple as we close this book. We already know, we're told by God, here and other places, what our future holds. You've been told what your future holds. There is no secret. There's nothing to be afraid of. You already know. You know what's coming. I mean, you can see the mountain peak. You know that Jesus is going to return to get you. The thing is, the peaks are out there and you're on one peak. And you can't quite tell how big this valley is, how really far it goes. And you don't quite know how long the trip is. So you don't know the day or the hour. But you know that the Lord will come back for you as he promised. And this you know, that his soon return to the earth is promised. And it's soon. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And so we'll live and reign and worship the Lord forever and ever from that moment on. So we ought to be shining now, we learn. So you know what that means. We ought to live our lives for him. Are you living your life for the Lord? Giving our hearts to him, our lives completely his. All that we have should be his. Is all that you have his? Is it? Our time, our talent, and our treasures all should be his. For whatever he wants to use them for. Whatever we do it for the Lord. We should. Whatever we have, we give to the Lord for his use. Whatever it is. Whether it's a lot or a little, doesn't matter. And whatever abilities that we have, whatever talents we have, whatever skills that we have, we use them for God. That's what he's saying to Daniel. Daniel, go your way. You belong to me. You've been serving me all your life. Go on, head home, and keep on serving and trusting. You'll rest, but you're going to be standing there and you'll enter in the kingdom. It's a long time from now, Daniel. I don't believe it's a long time from now, guys and girls, but it's a long time from Daniel, 3,000 years ago. His coming is soon. Jesus says in Revelation 22:12, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Then he says, I'm everything. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I pray that he's everything to you as well. Let's bow our heads. We're thankful for this book that we just finished, Lord. For you have told us history. Well, it was future. You've told us our future already. Because like everything else, it's really history to you. All we need to really do is trust in you. You've taken care of every detail. Lord, we're grateful and we say thank you. We think about Daniel, who, as an older gentleman, headed on back to work, having all these things in his heart, wondering. Lord, there are things that we can see out there. We see those mountain peaks. We know. We see those peaks that are coming. There's so much in between we just can't quite make out. We just trust in you, Lord. Thank you for this book of Daniel. Thank you. Work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.